know, when you hear a tune like that, you almost think, you know, I'll bet he knew Madame Toulouse. I bet he knew her. She sounded like it, didn't it? That's Michael Brecker from a recording, one of his Impulse records called Two Blocks from the Edge. You know, many days we wake up and we're a couple of blocks from the edge, aren't we? I don't think that's exactly what he was talking about, but we can find out, because joining me now is a very special lady in Michael's life. In fact, she even gave the title to his recordings. He would finish and hand it to her and go, "All right, babe, what are you going to call this one?" Two Blocks from the Edge. Susan Brecker, welcome again to WBGO. It's an annual event that I really look forward to.
Good morning, Gary. It's great to see you. Thank you for having me.
You betcha. Two Blocks from the Edge.
Don Grolnick.
Yeah.
It was his, he used to say that he liked living close to the edge, but he would prefer two blocks from the edge. It was a joke, you know, like that he liked the edge, but he'd prefer to be two blocks back from the edge. So it used to crack us up, and we thought that was a great...
The real estate's a little safer there, too, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, yes.
But you still get to peek. You still get to peek. And you get to peek at how deeply people felt about Michael Brecker. The event, this would mark the...
Second
mm-hmm. annual.
It's biannual.
Biannual. The Nearness of You, which is a concert of celebration that is going to be next Wednesday, the 25th, at Jazz at Lincoln Center in the Appel Room there, with an all-star cast, and not only to celebrate Michael's life, but also to raise money for cancer research at Columbia University Medical Center.
That's right, Gary. Michael died of a form of leukemia called MDS, and I partnered with two prominent physicians who are really on the cutting edge of research for MDS, Dr. Azra Raza and Dr. Siddhartha Mukherjee.
More to Live For. Talk to me about that film, because that kind of chronicled, you know, just what a difficult journey it is, but not hopeless.
Not hopeless. After Michael died, I wanted to give back to the community of people who had suffered and who didn't know about MDS. And I partnered with a man named James Chippendale, who actually had a bone marrow transplant and survived. And we made a documentary to tell the story of three men who needed transplants and were looking for a match to save their lives. So it's from the three perspectives. One was James, whose life was saved. One was Michael, whose life was not saved. And one who was still searching for a match. And we took it around the world. It was translated into different languages. And every time we showed the film, we swab people's cheek for the bone marrow registry.
And that's the deal, is swabbing the cheek, because James's match was a guy on the other side of the world.
That's right. He was in Germany. So as a result of the testing that we did every time the film was shown, the film has made 86 matches so far. And we're really proud of that. It keeps making matches, because once you're in the registry, you're in it until you turn 60.
Well, the man in the little village in Germany.
That's right.
Had registered because a friend of his was in need of bone marrow, and he thought, well, you know, just maybe.
That's right.
Well, it didn't work out for those two, but here's James Chippendale from Dallas, Texas, or Houston, Texas, I can't remember which side, but matching with this guy in this little village.
It was an incredible thing.
Yeah.
And
it's almost like jazz music, because you know this from Michael's work with musicians around the world. I mean, he would walk on a stage, and there would be a match with other people that shared that passion. And they did not speak the same language, but the interest and the creativity and the level of depth that is required to pursue a life in this music creates a broadband. Yeah, Here on WBGO, we're chatting with Susan Brecher about a very special guy in her life named Michael Brecher, and you just heard some of his creativity. And the reason that I'll be going back to my audiologist for a checkup, because that tune is something that I turn up, you know, when the level max is 9, I turn it to 10. It's called Broadband, and it's from Wide Angles, which Michael chose that title himself.
He did.
To show...
It showed the reach. It just hit him because it was really the beginning of a lot of internet and web-based things, and broadband was a word that was bandied about a lot, and he liked it.
But in his own creative life, too, it allowed him later in life to pursue other types of music.
Absolutely. Michael listened to everything.
Yeah.
And it's reflected in a lot of his compositions. He listened to Cajun music, and we listened to bluegrass. He listened to Irish music. He wrote that great tune, It's Been Real.
I played it this morning.
Oh, okay. So for him, new kinds of music was really exciting. Later, before he died, about 3 years before he died, he got very interested in gypsy music, specifically Bulgarian music. And he's written some amazing, amazing tunes with that as the framework.
Mm. Just what was it like to live with a person with a spirit like that, that was constantly looking... Sure, behind, for reference, you know, many of those musics are very old musics, but then in his grasp turned into completely new forward-thinking pieces. And that's, how did that kind of attitude play into his home life?
Michael was a really curious guy. He was really interested in... how people lived and how people thought and different kinds of food and music and reading. He was just very curious. So for me, living with him was so exciting because it really didn't matter what we were talking about or doing. He would be interested and involved in a very childlike way almost. It was really fun. He was a very funny person.
How did the two of you meet?
We were fixed up. I was working in a psych hospital in a rehab, and a woman came to volunteer there to see if this was going to be her new profession, named Kate Greenfield, my very dear friend. And she said, you know, I have a guy I want you to meet. I own a jazz club with him and his brother. Why don't you come down to the club and I'll introduce you? I think you guys would really hit it off. And sure enough, when we met at 7th Avenue South, and we fell in love in that moment. Michael used to love to say that it was love at first sight, and it truly was. We were both really fortunate.
So as a psychiatrist and working with people for rehabilitation and stuff, your own rehabilitation, some people, you know, sit on the porch and throw rocks at the cars, was jazz something that you listened to in the off hours that...
Yes and no.
Yeah.
When I was 15, I was introduced to Coltrane and Eric Dolphy and Mingus, and I listened to them through high school. But as I got older, I listened more to rock and folk. So when I met Michael, I knew the name, the Brecher Brothers, but I wasn't totally sure about his jazz career, which I think was exciting for him, that I wasn't a fan, and I certainly became one.
Yeah, I'll bet, as did legions of other people, and not just jazz fans, but other fans of music, you know, of the music of Paul Simon, people that like James Taylor. In fact, James and Michael were kindred spirits and very good friends.
Very good friends.
On and off the bandstand.
That's right.
For years. And coming up next Wednesday, some of those friends are going to gather.
It's true.
At Jazz at Lincoln Center for the Nearness of You concert. Well, what is this? Well, it's a celebration of Michael's life from some of the people that were fortunate enough to come into contact with him as friends, as also musical friends too. I'm talking, and the level is like Diana Krall, Wynton Marsalis, Joe Lovano, Dave Liebman, David Sanborn, Ravi Coltrane. The musical director for the night is a guy that when he first came from Florida up to New York, he slept on Michael's floor in his apartment and had to listen to Michael Brecker practicing at all hours of the day and night. And he reveled in it.
Will is a very dear friend, and we're so fortunate to have him as the musical director. He's got a great sensibility for the music, and as you said, he's known Michael so long, so we feel really blessed to have Will on board and steering the ship.
Oh, it's going to be a great ship indeed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and over the last one had some great people too. This one's going to have some interesting people come by and lend a hand, and of course, people in the seats are really going to enjoy themselves. And it's not just to take in a celebration of Michael's life, but it's to raise awareness and raise funds. You know, do something good for cancer research.
We really believe that the key to finding the answer, finding the cure for cancer, is research. And these doctors, Dr. Raza and Dr. Mukherjee, are committed to improving the lives of their patients as well. It is within that spirit that I want to raise the funds and support the work that they're doing. It's essential work, and they're making progress. So now is a very critical time for us to support them with this concert like this, to bring awareness to this cause and their need for critical funds.
Are the doctors fans of the music as well?
Well, Dr. Mukherjee is a musician himself and quite skilled.
Uh-huh.
And Dr. Raza, yes, they've become fans if they weren't to begin with. And they both were aware of Michael, but not fans. So they are thrilled to be associated with this project. And frankly speaking, I'm thrilled to be associated with them. They're outstanding physicians and human beings.
Ah. Yeah, you're fortunate to be around people like that. It's Wednesday, January the 25th, Jazz at Lincoln Center, the Nearness of You concert, and they're going to celebrate Michael's life and raise some funds for cancer research with a little bit of skunk funk. I think they said hold your applause till the very end, but hey, how can you hold back after something like that? That's some skunk funk, and we're chatting with Susan Brecker this morning, who was telling me during that tune that sometimes Michael and Randy, who you heard here, Will Lee too on the electric bass, would play this tune so fast just to see if they could just outdo each other.
It's true. It got really fast. And they'd both usually end up laughing on the floor because they just couldn't keep up with each other.
The music is serious stuff, but it's also a lot of fun. And many times that gets lost in the mix, especially in the world of jazz when it's all so serious. But you got to ask yourself the question. Some of these relationships have gone on for decades. What do you think kept those relationships the way they are? It wasn't all seriousness.
No, it wasn't. It was a couple things. I think it was the joy of the musicianship, playing together and speaking a common language and having these conversations over and over again, but never repeating the same thing, which is really, for me, part of the beauty of jazz. And through these musical conversations, they developed a real commitment and a love for each other. Of course, on the road, they had a ball a lot of the time, and there was a lot of laughing and a lot of camaraderie. So I think the combination of the stage and the road and the personalities created this true bond between the musicians, and it exists today.
Did you ever get to go on the road?
I did indeed. I went on the road a lot before my children were born, and even after my children were born, we took Jess on the road with Paul Simon, which was a lot of fun. Went to Europe and went across the United States with him. It's interesting to travel with a two-year-old. what do they eat? But yeah, we had a lot of fun, and we took family trips together. We had planned a trip to Bulgaria, actually, which sadly Michael didn't make and we didn't make. But we loved to travel with our children.
And now they're grown up, and are they musicians, any of them?
My daughter plays piano, and my son, I think, is a natural musician. He's a great singer, but neither one of them professionally.
That's okay, then.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. What were some of Michael's interests outside of music? I don't think a lot of people know and would like to experience the nearness of him through you.
Oh, I haven't thought about that in a long time. Let's see. Michael loved art. He loved going to museums. He liked to play basketball, not watch it. He wasn't a big sports watcher.
Yeah.
He enjoyed reading. He enjoyed the crossword puzzle. He loved the movies. We went to a lot of movies. He enjoyed traveling, both for work and not for work. He liked to see new places and experience new things. As I said earlier, he was a pretty curious guy.
I've seen footage of the family on the beach, and he looks as at home or in his environment as he did walking out onto any music stage that I ever saw him. I saw him quite a few times.
Michael loved the beach.
Yeah.
He loved to swim in the ocean. At any temperature, he would go in. He just felt really at home on the beach and in the water. He loved the ocean.
Michael Brecker, the nearness of him. Susan Brecker, our guest, the nearness of you, next Wednesday, Jazz at Lincoln Center.
It's not the pale moon that excites me, that thrills and delights me. Oh no.
Now, his wife tells me that he used to make fun of singers. But when you hear Michael Brecker and James Taylor together, there's a synergy that exists. And it was the same for Paul Simon and any other singer that he worked with during the course of his career. You would hear that. But now he and James had a very special relationship too. They were dear friends for a long, long time.
Indeed, they were. I'll tell one funny story about singers. Is when James was on the road with Joni Mitchell, she mentioned a tune to him, the words in a tune, and he said, "I don't listen to the words," and as a result, every single gig they had, Joni would come into his dressing room and recite the words to every tune she was going to sing that night. So he was forced to learn these words.
That's just not right.
he was just an instrumental kind of guy.
Yeah. Susan Brecker, our guest here on WBGO next Wednesday, the celebration of a musical kind of guy. At Jazz at Lincoln Center, the Nearness of You concert. Diana Krall, Wynton Marsalis, Chaka Khan coming by, David Sanborn, Joe Lovano, Ravi Coltrane, Dave Liebman, Robert Glasper, Will Lee is the musical director, and I'm leaving people out.
Rodney Holmes. And our rhythm section, which we're so excited about, is Jeff Tane Watts and James Genus.
Oh, look out.
Yeah.
Very
special.
You know, I told you I wanted to grab that Tane Watts record. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow morning.
Okay.
The one called Bar Talk. And there is a great duet with Michael and Branford Marsalis on a tune that that Tane wrote about a dog that he had once named Mr. JJ. And based upon the energy of the tune, that must have been a horrible dog. Somebody told me, yeah, it was the kind of dog you'd be walking in. The dog would sneak up behind you like a ferret and, you know, try to go for your Achilles tendon. It's like, that's not good. That's not good. But the nearness of you is, and not only in celebration, but also to raise money for cancer research at Columbia University Medical Center.
That's right. Good. We're really excited, and we'd like everybody who's listening now, there are still some tickets available, and we'd love you to come down. It's going to be a very beautiful evening of remembrance and music.
Oh, yeah, and you know, don't go down there. Don't go, well, it's Tuesday. Remember that Mrs. Bracker was talking about the tribute on BGO last week, and because you won't get in. You have to act upon something. You know, you have to do it now. The nearness of you, the nearness with you. It's at Jazz at Lincoln Center. It's next Wednesday, the 25th. We're chatting with Susan Bracker this morning. The opening track of the recording called Pilgrimage, Michael Brecker. He was dying when he made this record and had so much energy and spirit to the point where the day-long session, which included people like Pat Metheny and Herbie Hancock and Brad Meldow and John Patitucci and Jack DeJohnette, at the end of the day, he would even give some of the other musicians a lift home. A very special individual. From Pilgrimage, Michael Brecker. Susan Brecker with us on WBGO. Next Wednesday, they celebrate that kind of spirit that you just heard live at Jazz at Lincoln Center. The nearness of you. And of course, for you people that are insomniacs, you know, my Fitbit tells me technically I am an insomniac. Have you ever had one of these?
No, I haven't.
Well, you wear it to bed, and it actually tracks your sleep, too.
It's a little scary.
It's a little scary. I wake up, and it says you've slept 7 hours and 20 minutes. However, you were restless 18 times.
Oh, goodness.
Really? 18 times? What's the point of laying your head down? It's not quite that bad. I actually feel pretty good this morning. I was anticipating your arrival, though. This is it's great to see you again. The concert's going to be a huge success. It just is. I mean, you can feel it, the synergy, and it goes so much further than the music.
It does. It's in the beautiful Appel Room overlooking Columbus Circle, and the energy in the room will be magnificent, and we can't wait for everybody to come and join us. For the concert, it will be a very special evening.
It's next Wednesday, the 25th of January. It's a Jazz at Lincoln Center. It's not too early for you folks, speaking of synergy, that want to score some points with that significant other. You know, it can be like an early Valentine's Day gift. Where are we going? We're going to Jazz at Lincoln Center. It's a celebration of Michael Brecker. It's called The Nearness of You, and it's also a fundraiser, but guess how near you're going to be to David Sanborn and Joe Lovano and Diana Krall and Chaka Khan and Wynton Marsalis and Tane Watts and Robert Glasper and Ravi Coltrane and Dave Liebman and
Joe Lovano.
And Joe Lovano, yeah. and Susan Brecker. And Will Lee is the musical director.
That's right. It's going to be incredible.
Next Wednesday, the 25th at Jazz at Lincoln Center. Susan Brecker, as always, thank you for coming on today.
Thank you, Gary. This has been really special for me.
And here's some of the synergy and specialness that you'll be able to hear next week.